bless you. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter number 22, stanzas 1, 2, and 3. How long wilt thou forget me, O Lord? Thou God of grace, how long shall fears beset me, and while darkness hides thy face? How long shall griefs distress me, and turn my day to night? How long shall foes oppress me, and triumph in their might? 1, 2, and 3 of Psalter number 22. Thank you. Scripture reading for this morning hour can be found in the Gospel according to Matthew, the 27th chapter, verses 29 through 49. Matthew 27, verses 29 through 49. But first we will read the Holy Law of God according to Exodus 20. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill, and thou shalt not commit adultery, and thou shalt not steal, and thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor, and thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house, and thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. Matthew 27, beginning with verse 29. And when they had plaited a crown of thorns, they put it upon his head, and a reed in his right hand. And they bowed the knee before him and mocked him, saying, Hail, King of the Jews. And they spit upon him and took the reed and smote him on the head. And after that they had mocked him, and they took the robe off from him and put his own raiment on him and led him away to crucify him. And as they came out, they found a man of Cyrene, Simon by name. Him they compelled to bear his cross. And when they were come unto a place called Golgotha, that is to say, a place of a skull, they gave him vinegar to drink, mingled with gall. And when he had tasted thereof, he would not drink. and they crucified him. And parting his garments, casting lots, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, they parted my garments among them, and upon my vesture did they cast lots. And sitting down, they watched him there, and set up over his head his accusation, written, "This is Jesus, the King of the Jews." Then were there two thieves crucified with him, one on the right hand and another on the left. And they that passed by reviled him, wagging their heads and saying, "Thou that destroyest the temple and buildest it in 3 days, save thyself. If thou be the Son of God, come down from the cross." Likewise also the chief priests, mocking him, and the scribes and elders, said, "He saved others. Himself he cannot save. If he be the King of Israel, let him now come down from the cross, and we will believe him." He trusted in God. Let him deliver him now, if he will have him. For he said, "I am the Son of God." The thieves also, which were crucified with him, cast the same in his teeth. Now from the sixth hour, there was darkness over all the land unto the ninth hour. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani," that is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" Some of them that stood there, when they heard that, said, "This man calleth for Elias." And straightway one of them ran and took a sponge and filled it with vinegar and put it on a reed and gave him to drink. The rest said, "Let be, let us see whether Elias will come to save him." So far, the reading of God's holy word. We hope to remember in prayer this morning Mr. Peter Vendriel, who had a surgery in this past week. Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. Almighty and eternal God, thy wisdom that is unsearchable, and thy ways are past finding out. Oh, we have read that blessed and that awful portion of thy holy word, wherein thou wast mocked by the enemy, that it cast in thy teeth all thy words that thou had spoken, the gracious words which did come out of thy mouth in the midst of thy people, of thy church. And the enemy has taken thy words, and they have thrust them at thee in the hour of dread, in the trying hour. Lord, thou hast borne it with a closed mouth, when thou didst give no reply to all the mocking, to all the scorn of the enemy. And so thou didst destroy the prince of darkness himself, him who did come to our first parents and did tempt them to evil and did bring upon themselves death and destruction, for time and for eternity. And Lord, thou didst come to take it away, their iniquity, their sin, and also the consequences thereof, that thou hast suffered it in thy own body, and thou didst suffer it in thy own soul. Oh, what shall it be for us in that great and never-ending eternity, when our conscience will accuse us forever and forever? For what has come out of our own mouth, a confession that we believe in thy truth, that which thy dear Son has done, all may be that we have even spoken of our trust and our hope in thee, and then to a never-ending eternity, to have Satan himself to mock with us. You trusted in God, let him save you now. O Lord, instruct thou us in the seriousness of our life, that we are flying to that great eternity, that we have but a few moments, that we have but a few days. It is but in hand breadth. It is but a vapor. It is but a shadow. That we are here upon this world, and then we fly away. And oh, to have this blessed portion that thou hast bought, purchased with the price of thy own blood, applied unto us and to our dear children. Oh, by nature, Lord, thou knowest that we see no form and no comeliness in thee. Then there is nothing that we see that draws our hearts. We do not understand how wretched, how sinful that we are. We do not see that we are traveling on a broad road that leads to everlasting destruction. Lord, we beseech thee that thou would come in this day, in this thy holy day, that is set aside for that blessed purpose of a serving, of worshiping, of acknowledging thee, that thou would come with thy indispensable blessing. It is so undeserved from our side. Oh, when we will look at our own life, each and every one of us, also after received grace, and when we will see what lies within that fountain of corruption that does bring forth every day the mire and the dirt. Oh, then we do not deserve anything but to be thrust away and to be mocked by thee to a never-ending eternity. Lord, remember us in mercy. Oh, take thou reasons out of thyself to look upon us as a congregation, and to come in the midst of young and of old, to grant life in our soul, and that may go out after thee, who art the true and the living God, who did love thine own with such an everlasting love, that thou gave thyself to come from the blessed place of thy glory, and to humble thyself, to suffer and to die for the chiefest of sinners. Oh, give us a little eye, Lord, to see it in this day, that it may break our hearts, and that we may be given to see how great that our sins and our miseries are, and that we may be given to see the blessed value of that a gospel message that thou dost reveal also in the midst of us, when we are condemned by thy law, and when forever we have to be cast out, that thou dost also speak
and that thou dost say, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. When thou dost weep over Jerusalem, a Jerusalem, a Jerusalem, how oft would I have gathered thee, even as a hen doth gather her chickens under her wings. O, wilt thou look upon each and every one of us and break our hard and wretched hearts with thy law, with thy gospel, and give that in the midst of us there may come a yearning that has never been so before. Look upon the children, look upon the parents. Oh, give that in our families there may be a holy earnestness made evident, the work of thy Holy Spirit, evident in the inner chamber before thy face, evident also in the warnings of parents, in the instruction that we may instruct our children in. Oh, make us more faithful. Give us the ability to do so in humility, in simplicity, that it may be felt among us that thou dost work with might and power. Be with those that have just been united in this past week or so in those bonds of holy matrimony. Lord, look on them and on all those who have made such vows. Oh, give that we may love one another with a fervency which it ought to be, even as the love between Christ and his bride. Also those that may commemorate that they were 50 years together, spared by thee. Lord, look on them further also. One in the beginning of that way of marriage, and one come to the end. Lord, thou knowest that it cannot be so long anymore. The young can die, the old must die. Oh, give that they also may know that blessed marriage to that spiritual bridegroom, which will never be broken. Look on each and every one, all those that are widows, widowers, orphans, those who are separated, wives and husbands, those that mourn. Look on them in their affliction. And when there are difficulties in marriages, and when there are difficulties with children, when there are difficulties with relations, oh Lord, we have sinned against thee, and we have brought it upon ourselves. We have rebelled against thee, and we have destroyed that relation between God and our soul, and we deserve that every relation would be destroyed also amongst us. But wilt thou look on us in thy mercy? And wilt thou heal the breaches? And wilt thou heal that breach between thee and our soul? Take away the separation. Look on all those that have difficulties in this life, those that are handicapped, those that are afflicted and sick, those that have serious diseases. Remember him that had surgery in the week gone by, and thou hast brought him safely through. Lord, wilt thou humble him under these blessings and mercies? And all those who have undergone surgeries, wilt thou humble hearts and bless the means used to the recovery of their bodies? And oh, may we be kept, Lord, from sinning against thee, with the strength and the health that thou givest unto us day by day. Oh, break our hearts with it. Cause us to mourn, to turn from our sin, to love and to serve the true and the living God. Wilt thou go before us
in this thy holy day, when we are here, when we must be also in our sister congregation. And Lord, also those that will serve here in this afternoon, strengthen and help them and all thy servants and all those that labor in thy kingdom, also those that will read sermons in the congregations in this day, those that labor over the length and the breadth of the whole world. Wilt thou cause thy Spirit to come? Wilt thou give that many may be born in Zion? Wilt thou give that thy children may receive instruction as they walk as the blind that do not know the way? Oh, wilt thou deliver them out of the prison house, out of the darkness? And wilt thou give that the dumb might learn to sing thy praises? Oh, that those that are lame might leap and rejoice when they may experience something of the blessed joy of thy salvation. Oh, that those who have forfeited everything from their own side, oh, and they may be given to see just a little bit of the beauty of that person and that mediatorial work of thine only begotten Son, that they may see further also into that blessed covenant. Oh, that they may look, Lord, even for a moment into that never begun eternity, into that blessed counsel of peace, to see something of the good pleasure of the Father. Oh, that thou may give thy children to go from strength to strength, that they may rejoice in thy work. And wilt thou cause the knowledge also of self and of thee to increase? Open the mouth of thy dear children also in the midst of us, that it may be heard, that it may be experienced, that there may be a people made jealous of that blessed portion. Lord, help us this day. Help us this morning. Take away everything that does hinder, as the devil seeks to come in the midst of us and to give buyers and sellers to be in thy house. Oh, cast thou them out. Separate us for a few moments and give that we may experience feelingly and believingly thy presence and thy favor in the midst of us undeservedly for Jesus' sake. Amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 240, stanzas 1, 2, and 5. Lord, the God of my salvation, day and night I cry to Thee. Let my prayer now find acceptance. In Thy mercy answer me. Full of troubles and affliction, nigh to death my soul is brought. Helpless, like one cast forever from thy care and from thy thought. The last collection today is for the school. Psalter 240, stanzas 1, 2, and 5. Congregation, our text for this morning hour you can find in the portion that was read to you, Matthew chapter 27, and thereof the 45th verse. Matthew 27, verse 45. Now, from the sixth hour, there was darkness over all the land unto the ninth hour. So far, the words of our text. Darkness over all the land. First, the cause of this darkness. Second, the suffering under this darkness. And third, the end of this darkness. Darkness over all the land. First, the cause of this darkness. Second, the suffering under this darkness. And third, the end of this darkness. Darkness, congregation, what a difference between darkness and light. There are things that are opposite, opposed to one another. Our understanding of God is so limited, so small. On the one hand, we read in His Word that He dwelleth in the thick darkness. And on the other side, we read that He dwelleth in that city that has no need of the sun or of the moon to shine in them, because the glory of God does lighten them, and the Lamb is the light thereof. Incomprehensible to us, but in this world, in the creation, then we can read that the Lord has Himself made a distinction between light and darkness. The light He has called day, and the darkness He has called night. These two things we cannot mix together. What happens when the light begins to come, then of necessity the darkness has to flee away. There are some that say that God did not create the darkness, but the darkness was just there, and that God has only created the light. But it is not the truth, because we read in the Word of God that the Lord says of Himself, I form the light, and I create the darkness. And thus the Lord is able to bring the darkness when He will, at any time in this world, just like boys and girls, sometimes in the evening when it is dark outside, then you may walk to the wall, to the switch, and turn off the light, and it becomes dark. We are so glad when we may see the sun in the morning. But the Lord is able to make that sun not to shine in one moment. You know when He did that, do you not? You know that for 3 days that the Lord has made it dark. So dark that man was not able to get up. He was not able to move. A thick darkness. And yet we read that in the land of Goshen for the Israelites that there was light. Thus it is the Lord Himself who has command of the light and of the darkness. So we see also with that pillar of cloud, and when the Lord is leading His people out of Egypt, that the Lord is using it to give light unto His people. But on the other side, for the enemy, the Lord is using that same cloud to make it dark to all those who would fight against the Lord. And now we read it here again. Now from the sixth hour, there was darkness over all the land unto the ninth hour. The sixth hour, what time was that? That was 12 o'clock noon. It was in the third hour that the Lord Jesus was crucified. That was 9 o'clock in the morning. That was the time of the morning sacrifice. And it was 3 o'clock in the afternoon that the Lord Jesus has died. That was the ninth hour. That was the time of the evening sacrifice. And now we read from the sixth hour, that is from 12 o'clock unto the ninth hour, that is till 3 o'clock, for 3 hours, that there is darkness over all the land. How is that? The Lord also sometimes uses means to do things. Well, sometimes it also becomes dark in the daytime. Is that not true, young people? Then we see an eclipse of the sun. So was that then the same thing? That the moon that has come in front of the sun so that the sun could not give her light, and thus for several hours there was a darkness over all the land. Cannot be. And how do we know that cannot be? Because it is in the time of the new moon that we have an eclipse of the sun. But when was the Passover celebrated? The Passover was always celebrated in the time of the full moon. Thus, it is just the opposite. The sun and the moon, they are on the opposite sides of one another. No, the Lord has, in a supernatural way, He has darkened the light of that sun for these 3 hours. We don't know how much of the whole earth, whether it was the whole earth itself or whether it was a certain part of what they sometimes call the then known world, how much of the earth was darkened. But it was at least to the Roman Empire. Tertullian has appealed to the Roman archives to prove this, and he has recorded that Dionysius the Areopagite has recorded this as having been seen also in the land of Egypt. And then he has stated at that time that either the divine being suffers, or the great machinery of this world is tumbling into ruins. Thus it was seen already also afar off. And why is it that the Lord has brought this darkness over the world? We cannot but believe that it had also a spiritual significance. Chrysostom has considered it a token of the anger of God, that the Son of God has been crucified by that Jewish nation, that the heavens from the very beginning, the creation of the world, have never witnessed such a crime, as so that the light of the sun refused to give her light. But it is also an emblem. It is an emblem of the withdrawing of the light of the Lord from that Jewish nation, because they have rejected Him that was sent unto them. Thus their eyes were darkened. and their eyes are darkened yet even to this very day. What is congregation? The judgment of God upon our wickedness. That is darkness. That we have no light. What an awful, awful judgment. When the Lord will leave men over to themselves because of their sin and not give light, instruction, truth to enter into their understanding, to enter into their heart. Oh, why was that amongst the Jews? It was because they saw no form, they saw no comeliness in the Son of God. And why did they see no form in Him? It was because they could not let go of their own religion. It was a Pharisaical religion. And they did put their trust in their religion. And thus they were never broken down. And thus they have never seen a need for that mediator who was sent into the world. And then they were warned and warned and warned. And finally, the Lord has cut off the light. The Lord has darkened their eyes in the way of judgment. Oh, how we need to consider our own selves and what our religion is, and how that we are trusting in all our rites, in all the ceremonies, in all our confession, in our baptism, our faithful coming, as good as this is. But how we have to lose it. That it is no foundation for eternity. And when we will never see a need, when we will never see beauty in that blessed Son of God who was sent into this world because we are destitute of all good, then our eyes also are going to be darkened. Then in the way of judgment, that the Lord will come and take the truth even away from us. And then we will end in that place where there is no light but only darkness, and where there is never an opportunity to receive that light again. But there is more to the meaning of this darkness. We see that in our second thought, the suffering under this darkness. Now, from the sixth hour, there was darkness over all the land unto the ninth hour. What is darkness? Darkness, that is the absence of light. And when there is no light, we cannot see a thing. How frightening is a world that is full of darkness. Is that not true, boys and girls? Maybe when you were young, maybe when you are young, then you are afraid. When it is dark in your bedroom, then you are asking that mother, father will put a little light so that you may see something, because when you are completely in the dark, well, then sometimes you are so afraid. You cannot see anyone. It is also very fearful when we are walking and when we are outside and we are trying to go forward, but we cannot see anything. And when we do not see the path that is lying before us, so that we cannot see our way, because then there is so much danger when we go off the way to this side or when we go off the way to the other side. How few times in our life, with all our modern inventions, are we really so completely in the dark? We have seen it once, many years ago, in traveling, and we were in the mountains, and the electricity was out, and it was so, so dark. And you could see absolutely nothing. And that is frightening. And that is not so only in this life, but darkness that has come to signify things also for us in our lives. Darkness that has come to signify things such as ignorance, gloom, evil, secrecy, the secrets of the dark. But now also here, it also signifies something. It was not just natural, but the Lord Jesus has expressed the significance of this darkness for these 3 hours. And we read, when it came to the end of that darkness, then the Lord Jesus is crying out, what? My God, why hast thou forsaken me? That is now something that we are not able to comprehend. God forsaken of God. Not that he did not love him anymore. Not that he did not uphold him anymore, because he upheld him as he has promised even unto the end. But now that Son of God, to experience so fully the felt separation from his Father. Oh, how impossible that is for us to understand, because he is one with his Father, because there is such a unity in that Trinity. Oh, there is a oneness in us too, between what? Between our body and our soul. And what a frightening thing it is for us, and even for God's true church, when they may believe that it is well. But what a frightening thing that is to consider that our beloved soul that will be separated from our body. Then these two, they are one, and they need to be, as it were, rent from one another. And so the Lord Jesus, as the Son of God, as one of the persons of that blessed Trinity, of that blessed union which can never be separated, must experience that awful reality of what it is to be separated from his Father. And now there is a people who may know also what that communion is with the Lord, who are no strangers of that communion, and that still must experience what that separation is, who must experience what darkness is. We read in the Bible of a people who walk in darkness, and that have no light. And now when it is dark, congregation, we cannot see anything. Asaph says, we see not our signs. And thus the people, they can't see anything of those days of that former communion, that blessed communion that is so gone from them. They cannot see anything of the favor of the Lord anymore in their life. David says, why hidest thou thy face
from me? It is dark. They cannot feel that blessed communion with God. Is that so also in your life? What brings so much darkness? What brings darkness at all? That is sin. Because sin is breaking the communion. Is that not so in our daily life? That sin is breaking the communion between one another. And thus it is also sin that is breaking the communion that may be experienced in the life of God's people between God and their soul. And then they cannot pray. No, then their conscience is accusing them. And then they have lost that felt sense of His favor. We read of the bride. Then she had to go out again. And she had to seek after her bridegroom in the dark. And now it is that same cause whereby Christ has experienced that darkness. The hiding of the face of His own Father, not because of His own sin, no, but because of the sin that was laid upon Him from of His people. Surely He hath borne our griefs, Isaiah says, and carried our sorrows. It was not the favor of His Father that He felt, no, but it was the wrath of His Father that He had to experience. The wages of sin is death. And what is death? Death is separation. Separation experienced in the soul between God and my soul. And not only so, but the devil himself is the prince of darkness. The angels that sinned, we read, they were delivered unto chains of darkness. And where now does the devil do his work? Young people, where are you at night? At night you need to be at home. Why? At night it is dark. And at night this world becomes alive. And who is the prince of this world? That is the devil himself. And the devil is working in the night. The devil is trying to hide his deeds in the dark. And that is where so much sin is taking place in this world. Then you ought to take yourselves out, separate yourselves from that work of that prince of darkness in the night. And be within your own homes. And now the Lord Jesus must experience something of what that was in the dark. That is, that darkness envelops Him. And then that prince of darkness, he is letting loose upon that Son of God. That all hell is coming against the mediator of the church of God. What did the Lord Jesus say? He said, "This is your hour and the power of darkness." And what was that devil trying to do? Oh, that devil, he thought to destroy the Lord Jesus. Oh, he didn't know that he was doing just the opposite. He didn't know that he was working as an instrument for the salvation of the true church of God. But it was the desire of the devil that he would destroy the Lord Jesus. Never were there such a 3 hours ever experienced in this world. From the day of the creation even unto this day. Oh, we read of a time that the Lord Jesus prayed unto his Father. And he said to his Father, my soul is troubled. And then we read that his Father spoke. Oh, we read of another time that the Lord Jesus was in the garden and that he was wrestling in that garden. And then what do we read? That an angel was sent from heaven to strengthen the Lord Jesus. But now it is different. Now the Son of God, he has to wrestle with all the powers of darkness and at the same time to feel something not of the presence of his Father, but at the same time to feel something of being forsaken of his Father. That is, to feel something of the wrath, to feel something of the hot displeasure that is against the sin of his church. That divine wrath poured out without mercy upon that blessed Son of God, even without the light of the sun. Oh, he walked in darkness, and there was no light. Why? That he may deliver his own church out of darkness. In all the sufferings of the Lord Jesus, oh, we do not read that the Lord Jesus has complained. He was as a lamb that is going to be sheared. We read that he did not open his mouth. He was scourged. He was crowned. He was crucified. But after 3 hours of suffering under the hiding of the face of his Father, then we read that the Lord Jesus cried out. Is there a people that understand that? What is a greater affliction for that true church of God than the hiding of the face of the Lord? Oh, is there an affliction? Is there a bodily affliction that is greater than that affliction? Is there an affliction in our business? Is there an affliction in this world? Is there an affliction that is greater than that separation to be experienced between God and my soul? Congregation, when we have never known anything, when we have never known anything of the light, then really we don't know any better. But when we have experienced something of what that blessed light and that blessed communion of God is in our soul, oh, then you will feel it. Then you will say, there is nothing worse, there is nothing heavier than when I have to be so separated from that blessed face of the Lord. How much more the Lord Jesus Christ, who is light itself. And so the Lord Jesus has cried out. And what did the Lord Jesus experience when he has cried out? Then he experienced that he received no answer. No answer. Heaven as brass. And on top of no answer, a mocking enemy. We heard it together. That enemy saying he trusted in God. Let him deliver him now if he will have him. He calleth for Elias. We will now wait and see if Elias will come to take him down. What are they saying? We will wait to see if he will receive an answer.
end? In the darkness, with a mocking enemy, and still no answer. Congregation, what has sin not brought into this world? Do you see what it has brought? It has brought that there is no answer. It has brought a separation. Or only go back and read Genesis 3. The favor, the communion, closed. Heaven, shut up. And now what does the Lord say concerning his people? He says, when the poor and the needy seek water, and there is none, and their tongue faileth for thirst, then what do? They cry. But that heaven that has been shut, has it not? But what does the Lord say? He says, when the poor and needy seek water, and there is none, and their tongue faileth for thirst, he says, I, the Lord, will hear them. I will hear them. I, the God of Israel, will not forsake them. How is that possible? It is because Christ received no answer. No answer in his greatest need, that the Father caused him to be crushed, as it were, under the weight of the sin of his people, to experience the separating power of sin from the face of his beloved Father. And when did he receive no answer? He received no answer at the point of death. In the hour of death, when that last enemy was come upon him. Oh, is that not your fear, people of the Lord, that you will receive no answer, and that in the hour of death that you will be forsaken? But it cannot be. It is impossible. Why? Because in that hour it was the Son of God who has thus suffered for his people. And though he received no answer, yet his cry that was heard in heaven, oh, the things that take place in heaven are not always revealed to those that are dwelling on the earth. That is hidden from them for wise reasons, and more so with the Lord Jesus, who must drink that bitter cup to the last drop. Let us sing Psalter 440, stanzas 1, 2, and 3. In my grievous tribulation, hear my cry in tribulation and supplication, O my God, who hearest prayer. Look on me in all my care, day and night in my complaining, ne'er my mournful voice restraining. I in vain with tearful eye sought relief with thee, Most High. 1, 2, and 3 of Psalter 440. now from the sixth hour, there was darkness over all the land unto the ninth hour. What does that mean? That means, congregation, that this darkness came to an end. That was in the ninth hour. And what happened in that ninth hour? You remember that, boys and girls? What happened in the ninth hour? Well, then the Lord Jesus gave up the ghost. That means that he died. That means that the struggle was over. And it means that the price that was completely paid. In that hour, then the soul of the Lord Jesus was united again into that sweet communion with his Father. In that hour, then his soul has left all of the agony and the misery that he came into this world to suffer, and it has gone with his Father into that place of eternal bliss. And that not only for himself, but there the Lord Jesus has taken with him his whole church. Oh, what must it have been when that darkness then disappeared? Then some did continue to mock, but for others there was an impression. Or was there ever an impression in our own heart? And we read the centurion, when he saw all this, then he said, certainly this was a righteous man. Oh, how many have feared so when that darkness came in the noonday for those 3 hours. But what a relief then, when that darkness was taken away. There was a little girl once. She wrote a little poem about the twilight, the sun coming up in the morning. And then she wrote that as a struggle, a warfare between the light and the darkness. And then what did she write in the end of that poem? And then she wrote, and light, the fight with darkness won. Light won. O congregation, the prince of darkness, that is the devil. And he would have always and forever that church of God, every man in this world, to remain in the darkness. But the Lord Jesus in that hour has destroyed that prince of darkness. He has crushed his head, and congregation, therefore alone. Therefore alone it is possible to be delivered out of that darkness that we have brought ourselves into in our deep fall, and to be brought into that marvelous light of the Lord. Oh, by nature we don't see that darkness we are in. By nature we do not yearn for this light. We are content actually to dwell in the darkness. Oh, then our own hearts May confess how that is. We don't feel our separation. And we don't see that separation between God and our soul. Our soul does not yearn after God, that we may be reconciled to him again. But when the Lord may shine, oh, if the Lord would shine but one ray of light into your dark soul, oh, then with that one ray of light, it would become so different in your life. Oh, with that first ray of light, then you begin to see something. You know what you begin to see? Boys and girls, that's a mystery. But you know what you would begin to see when the light would come in? You would begin to see how dark it is. You say, minister, you contradict yourself.
because you say those two things, they can't dwell together. And yet, that is the way of the Lord. Ask the Lord that you may experience something of that blessed mystery. Oh, were you ever given to see what caused that darkness? Then you begin, congregation, to loathe sin. Then you begin to see that you are yourself the cause of that separation between God and your soul. And what you begin to do, then you begin to yearn. You begin to yearn for the light, that the Lord would come. Oh, what does the psalmist say? My soul waiteth for the Lord more than they that watch for the morning. Oh, is there a people for whom the darkness is a burden? The darkness of separation from God? Oh, has there ever been a ray of light in your soul? That you say also that my heart and that my flesh crieth out after the living God. Why art thou so far from the words of my roaring? Oh, you say, I cry out, but I have no answer. Oh, why have we no answer? What does our catechism say? Our catechism says, is there no way that we may escape that punishment and be again received into favor? God's justice must be satisfied. And the people, they have to learn this. Why? Do they have to satisfy that justice? No. It is finished. That is that justice that he has paid for on that cross. But you know what the people have to learn? They have to learn to agree with that justice. To say, Lord, thou art so right, and thou art so just, to cut me off and to cast me away from thee forever. And that is why that you receive no answer immediately. The Lord is waiting. The Lord is waiting. You say, have I not come low enough? No. When you have come low enough, then the Lord will not wait anymore. No, when you may agree that the Lord is just and that you deserve forever and forever to be in the dark and to be separated from his blessed communion. Oh, then it is time for the Lord. Oh, it will never be that such a people will be cast away. Why not? Oh, he was forsaken, that they might never be forsaken of him. The people that sat in darkness, they have seen a great light. Those that sat in the region and the shadow of death, unto them light has sprung up. Oh, he makes darkness light before them. In the sufferings of that blessed mediator, that blessed Son of God. And what a wonder, congregation, for that people, when the darkness is turned into light. Oh, when that day becomes, when that night becomes day, then there is no darkness. Oh, then the enemy cannot make it dark. Rejoice not against me, O mine enemy, when I sit in darkness, the Lord, he shall be a light unto me. O light in the soul, in that darkness, guilt, pollution that brings darkness. But when the Lord is opening the preciousness of that blessed atoning work of that Son of God, then there is light. It is the light, congregation, of grace. The light of grace for those who don't deserve it. It is the light of mercy for those who are so miserable and that cannot help themselves. It is the light of pardon, the light of forgiveness for those who are so guilty in themselves. And it is a small beginning, just a little beginning of that blessed and that eternal light where that people will forever and forever spend eternity, where there shall be no more night. Oh, congregation, there is also another place. There is also another place. It is just the opposite. It is a place, we read in the Word of God, of darkness. Oh, cast him. Bind him hand and foot and cast him into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth, and never, never any hope, never any expectation of light anymore. Oh, how it should make us to tremble before the Lord. Congregation, have you never felt something? Have you never experienced something of that darkness that is in your soul? Oh, let us be honest before the Lord. How many people speak about light but never knew anything about darkness? Please don't go that way. Then you will forever end in that place of darkness. Oh, the Lord, pray the Lord to open your eyes and to show you that darkness wherein you have brought, wherein you have brought ourselves. That is no easy way. Why not? Oh, the Lord Jesus, he says, this is the condemnation. That light is come into the world, but men love darkness rather than light. Why? Because their deeds are evil. And those that are dwelling in evil, they don't come to the light. And why don't they come to the light? Because then their deeds will be reproved. They will be exposed. But everyone that doeth truth, he cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. Why? Why do we hate the Lord Jesus Christ? Because he is light. And because then our evil deeds, they will be made manifest. Did it to the Pharisees. He opened everything. He says, you are a Pharisee. He says, you are nothing but a hypocrite. Congregation, they hated him. They rejected him. That is what is laying in our heart. Oh, ask the Lord to make you as that Samaritan woman. He also came there as the light. And he said to that woman, oh, he says, you have had five husbands. And he brought her whole life in the light. And that woman, oh, she learned to love. And how did she learn to love him? He says, I that speak unto thee am he. Oh, will the Lord bring? Will the Lord bring his work in the fire? That thief, congregation, the thief that was he crucified next to the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed man who may make confession of his whole life before the Lord Jesus Christ and what he deserved. And may hear a promise out of the mouth of the Son of God, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. And then it became dark for that man for 3 hours. And that work that was tried to the very end. And then it was done. And now that man, he rejoices in the light. And so it will be with everyone for whom that darkness is a burden. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, O give us open eyes to see it. We are so in the dark. We brought ourselves there. Lord, we deserve to stay there to a never-ending eternity. But Lord, wilt thou come and give us light? Open it. Open thy word. We don't deserve it, Lord.
Take reasons out of thyself. Come to every one of us, the children, the young people, the fathers, the mothers, and work with might and power. Lord, thou art the light. Thou art able to shine also in the dark days that we live in with our children. Shine in the light of the shine thy light in the heart of thy people. Give them to see the beauty of the Son of God. Give them to speak of it. Oh, come in our midst. Forgive our many, many sins. Be with us further this day in our labors, and also him that must lead in this afternoon. Be thou in the midst. Bless us undeservedly. For Jesus' sake. Amen. Our closing psalter is in number 204, stanzas 1 through 4. O God, how good thou art to all the pure of heart, though life seems vain. Burdened with anxious care, I groped in dark despair, till in thy house of prayer all was made plain. 1 through 4 of Psalter 204.
receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. And the Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.